You know, the great writer and Christian thinker, and one of my favorite of all time, C.S. Lewis, once said this: "I didn't go to religion to make me happy. I always knew that a bottle of port would do that." No, if you want a religion to make you really comfortable, I certainly do not recommend Christianity. Hey, welcome to True North Church. We're just here for the warm fuzzies. You know, the truth of the matter is that we love being comfortable, don't we? We love being comfortable. It's the reason that when you get home from work or come home from a party where you got dressed up, you immediately get into sweatpants. Or, you know, maybe since the start of COVID, you haven't gotten out of sweatpants, right? No judgment here. It's the reason that we buy Sleep Number beds. It's the reason that on a cold, cold day, we want to snuggle up with a nice blanket and a cup of hot cocoa next to a warm fire, right? We love being comfortable. But there is a fundamental truth. And this is true whether you believe in God, whether you believe in Jesus or not. Comfort rarely ever leads to growth. It very rarely leads to change in our life. It is only when we are made uncomfortable, when we get outside of our comfort zone, that real growth and real change actually begins to happen. I like to equate it to an athlete who's getting pushed every single day, working hard, going through the grind, putting themselves in very uncomfortable situations. Right? And in the moment, it might feel like, wow, I don't know if I can keep doing this. This feels like such a waste. But it is on the other side of that discomfort, of that uncomfortableness that they are putting themselves through, that the real growth and the real change happens. And it is the same exact way. This is true in our spiritual lives as well. You see, again, the truth is that the Christian life was never meant to be comfortable. Jesus never promised that it would be comfortable. In fact, he actually says that it's going to be the exact opposite of that more often than not. But he also says this, that it will be so worth it. And so we are in the middle of a series that we are appropriately calling Uncomfortable. We've been in this series for the last several weeks. And really at the heart of this series is this, is that your Heavenly Father has a desire for you to grow. He has a desire for you to kind of break through some barriers, to have spiritual breakthrough. And at the end of the day, as your pastor, and if you're maybe listening to me for the first time, so do I. I want you to experience spiritual breakthrough in your life. I do. But if we want to see spiritual breakthrough, we have to get comfortable being uncomfortable. This is a fundamental truth of growth. If we want to see growth, if we want to see change, we want to get better, we got to get comfortable being uncomfortable. You see, one of the things that I love about Jesus is that he loved to make people uncomfortable. He did. He made everybody uncomfortable. It didn't matter who you were, but he made us uncomfortable. He makes us uncomfortable because he loves us, because he wants to see us grow, right? He loves to make people uncomfortable. I mean, I'm talking like you're out on a double date and you go to sit down at dinner and the couple that you're with starts, you know, arguing about whatever. And all of a sudden, one of them looks over at you and says, "What do you think?" I'm talking like that kind of uncomfortable. Jesus loves to make us uncomfortable, but he loves to make us uncomfortable because he knows that it will grow us. And because he loves us and he cares about us and he wants to see us become better. And ultimately, his ultimate desire is to see us become more like him. See, I love that Jesus loves us exactly the way we are. And that is true. And if you've ever heard any different, it's a lie. Jesus loves you exactly the way you are with all your faults and all your weaknesses. But Jesus loves us way, way, way too much to let us stay the way that we are. And so he makes us uncomfortable. Like a great coach, Jesus is always pushing us. He's pushing us to be better. He's putting us in uncomfortable situations. He's sharing with us uncomfortable truth that will change our lives and make us better. Now, one of the ways that Jesus often pushes us and kind of challenges us is that he will challenge the way that we think about what is right and how to live, and maybe on the opposite side of that, what is wrong and how not to live. And again, this is a fundamental truth about who God is and who Christ is. God's way is not our way, but it is always the better way. God's way is not our way, but it's a better way. And it often stands in contrast to our culture, to what the world around us is telling us how we should live, how we should act, how we should respond. And oftentimes, it will actually make us feel incredibly uncomfortable, but it will always come with a great reward later. That is the promise of Jesus. Now, the fact is that we're living in a TikTok, Instagram, selfie, look at me kind of world, aren't we? Like, if we're honest with ourselves, don't all of us in a little bit of a way, we have this voice inside of us that doesn't just want to be seen, it wants to be great. Right? We want to be seen as great. We want more likes. We want more followers. We want elevated status amongst our peers and in our spheres of influence, right? And yet, and it doesn't feel like this gets talked about enough, and not even in the church. In Jesus' kingdom, in the kingdom of God, he has a very different idea about what greatness looks like. And it flies in the face of our culture, and in many ways, it is uncomfortable. And so I'm just going to call it how I see it today. I believe we've become way too comfortable with this mentality, with this mindset, with this look at me, selfie-centered kind of world, a pride-centered world that we live in. We've become so comfortable with that because as we look around the world, and maybe you don't see this, but I feel like I see it every day. Every time I turn around, there is somebody promoting themselves, somebody wanting to get all the accolades, somebody wanting to get theirs. And what Jesus says is that this at the root of this is this sin called pride. And I believe Jesus wants to break us of that pride. But I must warn you. I warn you today, Jesus calls us, what he calls us to is incredibly, incredibly uncomfortable. But that's what we're going to talk about here for a couple minutes today. We're going to be in the book of Luke, chapter 14, beginning in verse 7. And just to provide you again with a little background and context here, as always, context is so important. Jesus has just been invited by this group, this super religious elite group called the Pharisees, to have dinner at one of their homes. And not just any Pharisee, but one of the high-ranking, high-level, so to speak, Pharisees. This guy had a lot of clout, he had a lot of power, he had a lot of influence in the community. And so when Jesus accepts this offer to come and have dinner, he sees it as an opportunity to make these guys uncomfortable for their own good. And that's what we're going to pick up here in Luke chapter 14 and verse 7. It says, when he noticed how the guests picked the places of honor at the table, he told them this parable. Now, let's just stop there for a second. Let's just stop. Take a little pit stop for a moment, because this is important. It says, when he noticed the guests picked the places of honor at the table, he told them this parable. First of all, the Pharisees were notorious for being this power-hungry, look-at-me type of people who really, at the end of the day, for lack of a better way to put it, they thought they were better than everybody else. Because of their position in society, because of their education, the fact that they followed all of the rules. And in those days, when you had a party and you invited people over to your house, the way that they would set up the table, so to speak, is they would put it in this like U shape. And at the very top of the table would be the host. And from the host going out around that U all the way to the very ends would be people of importance. And the further away you got from the host of the table, the less important you were deemed by those at the party. And so the Pharisees, they were clamoring. Every time there was a party, anytime there was a wedding, a banquet, they would clamor for the top spot, for the best seat in the house. Why? Because they wanted to be seen for what they thought they were. They thought they were better than everybody else. They thought that they deserved to be in that high position. But Jesus goes on, and he tells them this parable. It says, when someone invites you to a wedding feast, do not take the place of honor, for a person more distinguished than you may have been invited. If so, the host who invited both of you will come and say to you, give this person your seat. Jesus goes on, he says, then humiliated, you will have to take the least important place. But when you are invited, instead take the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he will say to you, friend, move up to a better place. Then you will be honored in the presence of all the other guests. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. Now we have to understand here that the Pharisees, this would have made them wildly uncomfortable. Not only would it have made them uncomfortable, it would have made them angry. I mean, infuriated, because what Jesus is really saying to them here is this. I want you to be less than these other people who are sitting in this room, in this party, in this particular case, in this wedding. I want you to take the lowest seat. And when you do that, what you're really going to be saying to other people is, I'm not as good as everybody else who is here. And for the Pharisees, this would have been completely unacceptable because their pride would not allow it. I'm not going to take the lower seat. Are you kidding me? Look around at the people here. Look at all these sinners here. I am part of the religious elite. I follow all the rules. I do everything right. I have elevated status here in society. I'm not taking the low seat. And so this would have infuriated them, and it would have been a complete flip. It would have upended the social construct that had been put in place at this time when Jesus was walking the earth. Don't miss this. What Jesus is actually saying to the Pharisees, and what I believe he is still saying to us 2,000 years later, is that you can take the high position now. You can take it now, but know this. If you exalt yourself now, if you put yourself in that high position now, the opposite thing is going to happen to you in my eternal, forever, and everlasting kingdom. You can elevate yourself now. You can be in that high position now, but in the kingdom of God, those who elevate and exalted themselves here in this life, they're going to be knocked down. They're going to be sent to the back of the line. But he ends with this. He says, if you will take the low position now, if you'll lower yourself, if you'll go to the back of the line, start at the back of the line, put others ahead of yourself, see yourself as lowly, then you will earn favor in my kingdom. That is how you earn favor in my forever eternal kingdom. And again, this would have been a complete reversal. This would have flipped everything that they thought they knew upside down. But Jesus, he takes it a step further. And I love this. Then Jesus said to his host, when you give a luncheon or dinner, don't invite your friends, your brothers or your sisters, your relatives or your rich neighbors. Don't invite all of the high-to-do and fancy, wealthy, rich, high-level, high status people. He says, if you do, they may invite you back, and so you will be repaid. Instead, he says, when you give a banquet, invite the poor, invite the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed. Although they cannot repay you now, he says, you will be repaid at the resurrection. of the righteous. His point, the greatest reward in the kingdom of God is reserved for those who do not seek to gain notoriety and riches or become part of the elite or have high status in this life, but to those who spend their time humbly serving those in lowly positions. Although they can't repay you, he says, you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. In other words, you will receive an eternal reward that will last forever and is far greater than any reward that you could receive now. Choose wisely, guys. Choose wisely. See, it's a simple message today. It's a really, really simple message. It's a message that I believe Jesus proclaims over and over again in his life and his ministry. If you really want to be great, you really want to be great? You want to be exalted? You want to be elevated? He says, always take the lowest place. That's the message today. Always take the lowest place. Always take the lowest place. Always take the lowest place. Why? Why does Jesus command us to do this? First of all, I believe that we were created for one purpose, for one reason and one reason only. And this doesn't always sit well with everybody because it seems as though we're saying God is this narcissistic being up in heaven who just wants all the praise and all the accolades. And who cares about all the people? It's all about me. But we were created to bring God glory. We were created to glorify him. We were not created to glorify ourselves, our bodies, our achievements. We were created to bring God glory. And because we were created to bring him glory, that is where we will find the most fulfillment. We will actually have more joy and more fulfillment as we take the focus off of ourselves and we put it on God, on glorifying him. And here's the problem with pride. When we are prideful, what pride does is it seeks to take the glory off of God and put it on ourselves. And what humility does, humility is the antidote to pride. Humility says, I am nothing, I am not really worthy, but God, you are great and mighty and awesome and glorious. You have given me life and put breath in my lungs, and so I glorify you. How do we do that? How do we glorify God? By humbling ourselves and serving him and serving people, the people that he loves more than anything. See, we want to be told how great we are. Come on, don't we? We want to be glorified. I want to receive the glory. But here is the problem with that. And I want you to mark this down. If you're taking notes today, you got something to write this down with. The more we're focused on getting people to see how great we are, the less we'll be focused on getting people to see how great God is. Let me say that again. The more we're focused on getting people to see how great we are, the less we will be focused on getting people to see how great God is. That is why we exist, and that is where we will find the most fulfillment in our lives, in bringing him glory. We can't do that. We won't do that if we are so prideful that everything is about us. Always take the lowest place. Why? Because God gets the glory. We don't. And if that's the case, then I'll take the lowest place every time. If that's really what it's about, if it's really about honoring and glorifying him, that makes taking the low place so much easier. Second, we will never receive the amazing gift of the kingdom of God, of the salvation of Jesus Christ, until we see ourselves as lowly. The bottom line is that I am a sinner. There is evil inside of me. I am a wretch. I don't deserve to have a relationship with a perfect and holy and pure God, and yet he offers that to me freely. And the only thing he says I need to do to receive that is admit that I need it. That's it. And that doesn't happen without humility. There has to be an element inside each of us that says, God, I don't have it together. I need you. I need you desperately. You are my only hope. And this is the problem that the Pharisees had. This was their biggest problem. They believed they were all that. They followed all the rules, so that made them better than everybody else. But the bottom line was, yeah, they might have followed all the rules on the outside, but on the inside, they were still evil. In some ways, even more evil than everybody else, because they acted like they were perfect on the outside, but on the inside, they had so many issues, just like all the rest of us. In order to receive the gospel, the amazing good news of Jesus Christ that he offers to us, we first must humble ourselves. We must bow ourselves in submission to him and recognize that he is our only hope, that he is our only chance. Humility is the only way that happens. Take the lowest place. Finally, Jesus wants us to grow. Why does he want us to take the lowest place? Why does he want us to live humble lives and walk in humility? Because he wants us to grow. He wants us to become more like him. He wants us to have more impact on the world around us. And again, here's the truth today. Humble people grow. Prideful people do not. The more humble we are, the more we will grow. The more we admit that we don't have it all together, that we have things that we need to learn, that we have areas in our life that we need to grow in, the more we admit that, the more we will grow. The less we admit that, the more we will stay the same. The reason that I have not grown, there are certain areas of my life where I have not grown much. And there are areas in your life where you haven't grown much either. The number one reason you haven't grown is your pride and my pride. That is keeping us from growing. And the answer to that is humility, is just admitting, okay, God, I need you to help me with this. I'm weak in this area. How are you going to help me, God? Help me, help me, help me. I need you. Humble people grow. But even beyond that, humble people have greater impact. They have greater impact on the world around them. Why? Because when we humble ourselves, when we take the low seat, the low position, what we're doing is we're saying that no task and no person is too low for me to serve them. I am not better than anyone. Real, true humility is actually saying that everyone else is actually better than me. That I am putting myself behind, in a position behind, literally every single person on the planet. I refuse to see myself as better than them. Because the reality is, I'm not. I am in need of saving just like everybody else. I am in need of Jesus in my life and his transformative power just like everyone else. And so I want to ask you to take this challenge with me this week. And really not just this week, but every day for the rest of our lives. And every moment of every day, always take the low place. Always take the lowest place. Always take the lowest place. If there's something I want you to walk away today with, boy, I hope you don't forget this. Always take the lowest place. The truth is that taking the low place, putting ourselves in that position where we are lowering ourselves below everybody else, where we're putting ourselves behind everybody else, it's uncomfortable. It's really uncomfortable because in our flesh, what we want is we want to be first, right? We want to be put in that position of prestige where everybody sees how great we are. It's uncomfortable to put ourselves in the lowest place. It's uncomfortable to be humble at times. It will mean putting yourself in uncomfortable positions on a regular basis, and it will not be easy. I promise you that. But can you imagine? Can you just imagine with me for a second how your world would change, how you would change, how the world around you would change if you and I, if each of us, began to always take the lowest place in every situation, in every relationship that we have? Can you imagine how your relationships would change if you were to always take the lowest place? Can you imagine how your marriage would change? Think about your relationship with your wife or your husband. and how you taking the lowest place would change the dynamic of your relationship and everything, you putting yourself second and putting them first and saying, okay, even though, you know what, I kind of want to do it this way, I'm going to serve you today. I'm going to honor you today by humbling myself and saying, nope, you're first. Can you imagine how it would change your working relationships? Can you imagine how it would change your relationship maybe with your boyfriend or your girlfriend or even just your best friend? Can you imagine how it would impact your kids if you began to model that for them, show that to them, show them how to always take the lowest place? Can you imagine? I mean, I think about just day-to-day life, all of the different interactions and encounters we have with people. I think about just getting on an airplane, walking down that aisle. You know, no seats are assigned. You're the last person, or maybe there's two people left coming onto the plane, and there's an end seat, a nice end seat with plenty of legroom, and there's a seat over here on the other side, and it's a middle seat. And you're between a guy who looks like he might not have showered since before coronavirus started, and somebody who's going to be listening real loud to Taylor Swift the entire flight. Which seat do you take? What Jesus is calling us to is take the seat between the two people. Take the seat in the middle. Take the lowest place. Do it on a regular basis. Because that is who I am calling you to be. That is where you are going to find your most joy and fulfillment. That is how you are going to glorify me in your life. See, what I love about Jesus is that he never, ever, ever asks us to do anything that he was not willing to do himself, ever. He was willing. He was God. He was king. He literally sat at the table of the host, his God, you know, his Father, God in heaven. He sat right next to him at the table. But instead of staying there, he put himself at the back of the line. He moved to the end of the table. Why? For the good of others. He leveraged his authority and power. And he put himself, even though he was at the highest, at the peak of where anyone could be, he literally is God. He is Lord and King. He made himself lowly for our sake. He took the lowest place, death on a cross, so that we could be lifted up out of death. I love how Paul puts this in Philippians chapter 2, starting in verse 5. He challenges us with this. He says, in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. He lowered himself down from heaven into this world to suffer and die for us. He made himself a servant to us for our sake. It says, in being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself, the ultimate act of humility, by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross, the most horrible death you can possibly imagine. Then it says, therefore God exalted him. God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the what? To the glory of God the Father. He went lower than anyone else has or will ever go, and he is now exalted higher than anyone ever has been or ever will be. In every way, I want us to be like Christ. I want us to know Christ. I believe it starts with following his lead, with taking the lowest place, with humbling ourselves in every aspect and every moment of our life, taking the lowest place. It will be incredibly uncomfortable at times. It will. And in this life, you may not feel like you are rewarded for that, for constantly taking the lowest place. But here's the great news. This life is short. It's a tiny little blip on the radar of eternity. And what Jesus promises us is a heavenly reward that far surpasses anything we could enjoy here. It will be completely counter to what the world tells you you should do, how the world tells you you should live, how our culture tells you you should live. But it will be so worth it. Always take the lowest place. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We praise you and thank you for your goodness, for your faithfulness. God, I thank you that you have set for us an amazing example of humility in your son, Jesus. I thank you that we can have relationship with him, that we can be brought into the kingdom and the family of God because of what he did for us on the cross. Father, I pray today that each of us would walk in that same kind of humility, that every day we would look for opportunities to take the lowest place, even when it might be uncomfortable to us, even though we might not get anything out of it. God, I pray that that's the kind of people we would be, because that's who you have called us to be, and that is what will bring you honor and glory, and that's what we want more than anything. God, I just want to bring you glory. I want to bring you honor, because I know as I do that, I will be fulfilling my purpose and I will be filled up with your just great power and love and grace and joy, and just everything that you want to offer us comes through that bowing the knee, that bowing of the knee, and that humbling of our spirit. So today, God, I pray that through the humility of the church, through the humility of God's people, that your name would be known more and more in this world, it would be made greater, that you would be glorified, God, and we'll give you truly the glory for all that you do in us and through us. It's in Jesus' perfect name we pray, and all God's people said, amen. Hey guys, thank you so much for joining us this week for week 3 of Uncomfortable. We'll be back next week for week 4. Can't wait to see you guys. Have a great week, rooting for you, praying for you, love you, and we'll see you next time.